Good morning. Welcome to our broadcast. This service is provided by the McIntosh Baptist Church. Today, our speaker is Audie Brockle. We hope you enjoy the service.
Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah 50. Very interesting verse in this chapter of Scripture that I ran across this week or maybe last week. I can't remember. Verse number 10. And just before I read that, it seems like everywhere we go, it seems like there are people who are called to walk a path of suffering, sorrow, tears. I think that was kind of evident in our prayer list. We have a lot of people suffering a lot of difficulties, a lot of things, burdens, griefs, perplexities. Today, I want to draw your attention to a wonderful verse, a verse of Scripture that I hope will give you comfort if you are one of those people that are suffering difficulties and sorrows and problems. Verse number 10. Who among you fears the Lord and listens to his servant? Who among you walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. At first glance, that may not seem like an amazing verse, but I believe it is as we look at this. It starts out talking about a person who fears the Lord, who listens to God's servant. You know, the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It may not necessarily be the end of wisdom, but it is definitely the beginning of wisdom. You want to learn to be wise? Learn to fear the Lord. It says, listens to his servant, God's servant. And then it says, yet this person walks in darkness, has no light. Wow. Might not necessarily be what we'd expect from someone who fears the Lord, follows God, a friend of God. Yet here they are, walking in darkness with no light. And then God's advice here is, let him trust in the name of the Lord. Let him lean on God. So when you come to a place in your life where you just can't seem to see any light in any direction, there's darkness just seems to close in all around you, God says, trust him. Keep trusting him. Lean on him. You know, sooner or later, all of us go through times of sorrow, suffering, darkness, tears, difficulties. We all go through things like that. Some of us are asked to walk longer these paths. But sooner or later, we all go through some of these times of sorrow and suffering. Darkness is always difficult. Darkness is never easy. Darkness can even affect us physically. Why is it that there seem to be more suicides in Alaska during the wintertime than during the summertime? It's because darkness is on the land for such a long time. Just a few hours of daylight each day and darkness throughout the rest. Darkness can actually affect us physically, especially when we're sick or we're agitated or we're disturbed about something. Sick people often dread the nighttime. I remember when I was sick with Crohn's disease and was in the hospital for 13 days. I remember those first few nights when the pain was pretty serious after the operation. And I would wake up in the middle of the night and it was already time for more medication. And it was dark. TVs were off. Things were kind of quiet. And I thought, man, if it were just daytime, it would be better. Man, if it was just light outside and I could see some light out the window, it would be better. And so I longed for the morning light to feel better once the daylight arrived. But this whole situation raises a question. Why do tears and suffering and darkness and grief come to people who are friends of God, who follow God, who trust God, who try to live for Him? You know, we can understand why these things might come in the life of someone who does not follow God, someone who's not God's friend, who refuses to be a follower of God. But why would these things happen in the life of people who are friends of God, who actually follow God? Now, offhand, lots of people would offer a superficial answer that, well, it's a result of sin. But we need to remind ourselves that that's the answer that Job's three friends gave. Job, you must have sinned. That's why God has done all these awful things in your life. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't ever happen, because there are times, there are cases when, yes, sins in our life do cause things to happen. God allows things to happen in our lives. He disciplines us. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, the Lord disciplines the one He loves, and He punishes every son He receives. So endure suffering as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there that a father does not discipline? He does it for our benefit so that we can share in His holiness. So yes, sometimes God does discipline us for things in our lives that are out of sorts, out of kilter. But that is not the answer in every case. Job in particular. Maybe the Apostle Paul, when he asked about the thorn in the flesh to be removed. Many times suffering cannot be traced back to some sin in our lives. It just is. It just happens. Like Job. So back to our question, why do people who trust God, why do people that are friends of God sometimes walk this trail of tears, endure suffering, darkness in their lives? Why? Well, I think there are some answers, but I think they're really only partial answers. I'm not sure we can really give a total definitive answer about this, but there are some partial answers. And one of the partial answers is that sometimes suffering and sorrow in our lives allows us to honor God. It gives us a chance to glorify Him. If we use trouble and suffering in our lives correctly, it enables us to honor God, I believe. So suffering is like a sacred trust. Okay, what's a sacred trust? A sacred trust is something that's given to us to be used in a specific way, to be used to honor God. For instance, a person who is given great riches and wealth will have to answer someday to God for how did they use their wealth, their riches for God. What did they do with those riches? A woman with a beautiful singing voice will one day be asked to give an account of how she used her voice for God. A person who can sew or cook or farm or raise cattle is given a sacred trust. How do we use those abilities for God? You remember the parable that Jesus spoke about in the New Testament, how each person was given a talent. I like that the King James Version uses that word talent. Actually, it meant a certain specific amount of gold. That was what talent meant. It didn't mean talent like you and I think of. But yet, in our modern English, that's what that word means. And I think it's aptly so. God gives us talents, gives us abilities, gives us gifts, if you will, and then expects us to use our abilities and gifts to honor him. God gives us each abilities or possessions, and he trusts us to use them to honor him. And I believe that trouble and suffering, sorrow, are also a trust from God to be used to glorify him, to bear it in a way that honors God, to meet it head on, not to run away, but to meet that head on with honor, to go through it, to endure it, to face it as if God would have us face it. Honor him through that. When I think of situations like this, I always think of Johnny Erickson Tada and how she is such an inspiration to me in the way that she deals with her paralysis. What an amazing woman she is. And I believe she is honoring God with the sorrow, the suffering that she is enduring. Remember Job. You remember that story. Starts out with God and Satan having a discussion about Job. Now, Job knows nothing about this discussion. He's not in heaven. He doesn't hear God and Satan talking about him. And God is sort of bragging a little bit on Job. He says, "Hey, Satan, have you checked out my servant Job? He's a pretty good dude." Satan says, "Nah, he's not that great." Sound like a couple of boxers, you know. "You're not that tough." God says, "He's a pretty good guy. He follows me." Satan says, "You know what? You let me at him." And he says, "I'll get him to curse you to your face." God says, "All right, I'll take that challenge. You go ahead and you do whatever you want to Job, but you can't touch his health. You can't touch him." Satan says, "All right." And so he goes and he takes all of Job's cattle, takes all his camels, all his donkeys, all his sheep, his goats, kills his children in a tornado, takes all of his possessions away, everything, and leaves only a few servants to come back and tell what has happened in the great destruction. Wow. How do you lose everything and still honor God? Well, Job did that. Even though Satan took everything, his property, even his children, Job sat down and he said, "Well, God gives and God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord God." Wow. How do you say that? How do you think in that way? Well, Job did think in that way. So then it didn't take long, and pretty soon there's another meeting. Here's God and Satan talking again. God says, "Told you so." And Satan said, "You know, you're just protecting him. That's the only reason he's serving you, because you protect him. But you know what? You let me get at his body and at his health, he'll curse you to your face. You just wait and see." God says, "All right, I'll take that challenge too." He says, "You can do anything you want to Job, but you can't take away his life." All right. And so Satan causes Job to have these boils from the soles of his feet to the top of his head, covered with boils and I don't know exactly what that is, but it was very painful, I believe. And Job sits on the ash heap and he's rubbing the boils and trying to feel better. And there's just no way to feel better. Then Job says, you know what? Even if God kills me, I am still going to serve him because I believe God is good. I'm still going to serve him, even if he kills me. Now remember, Job didn't know anything about this discussion between God and Satan. He didn't know anything about that. He's in the dark about that whole situation. His property's all taken away. His children are all dead in the tornado. He's lost his health now. My, who wouldn't be depressed in a situation like that? And yet, Job still says, even if God kills me, I'm still going to serve him. You know, I believe you and I are encouraged, even this morning, about the way Job dealt with that situation. I'm encouraged, and I think probably you are too, the way that Job handled that situation. You see how God blessed Job? Read the end of the story. It says that God gave him all the possessions that he had, even more. He gave him another set of children, if you will. And it says that his daughters were the most beautiful daughters in the area. Why? Because God's hand of blessing was on Job about the way that he dealt with these sufferings and trials that God allowed him to endure. You see, suffering rightly endured honors God. So be careful. Be careful how you behave when trouble strikes in your life. Be careful. Many a person, I believe, has dishonored God when trouble comes. So no matter what the trouble is, no matter what brought the trouble about in your life, no matter who brought the trouble into your life, no matter how it came about, remember to always honor God as you face it. One time there was a young woman who married a young, handsome fellow who was kind of a noisy, quarrelsome unbeliever. And even though she was a Christian young lady, somehow this young man wooed her and won her heart and was able to get her to marry him. Now, he was a skeptic and a scorner of the things of God. And this young lady had no business marrying him because of that. Well, she married the young fellow and she soon found out why God warns believers not to marry unbelievers. Her and the young man had to live in the same big house with his parents and grandparents who were very vocal unbelievers. Immediately after the wedding, her faith came under intense fire from all that lived with her in the house. They attacked her faith, ridiculed her faith from every angle and in every way. The attacks were relentless, but she held steadfast, she stayed calm, and she stayed true to the Lord Jesus. She went to church services by herself because no one would go with her. For more than a year, she endured the grief of that home life. Then one day, as she was at home going about her duties in the kitchen, this was back in the, you know, the kitchen stove is a wood-burning stove days. One day, as she went about her duties in the kitchen, her clothing caught fire. And before they were able to reach her and put the fire out, she received extreme burns. She remained conscious for a long time, till the very end. As she endured the suffering, not a word of reproach, not one word of bitterness escaped her lips. To the very end, she spoke to her family about the love of God and quoted God's promises to them. As she sensed her end drawing near, she reached out her burnt hand to touch her husband's arm. And she said, "Oh, Charlie, the thing that grieves me most about dying is that I have not lived long enough to teach you and your parents and your grandparents that Jesus is real and that he is true, that he is a savior, and that he truly does help us, that he is our refuge in every time of trouble and need." And just a few moments, she died. A funeral was held and they buried her in the cemetery. And that evening, the family went home and sat in their large living room in silence, each of them lost in their thoughts. They sat there in that living room a good long while with that silence pervading the room. Finally, the young man stood up and he spoke to the rest of his family and he said, "Mary had something we don't have. None of us have it." And he says, "I'm going to set out to find the Savior that she loved." And then his father stood and spoke as well. And he says, "Yes, son, I believe you're right. I sense that too. And I believe Mary taught me something. I'm going to seek that Savior as well." And then the old grandfather stood with his cane and came over and stood with his son and his grandson. And he put a hand on each of the two men. And he said, "My sons, I do believe you are right. Mary did have something that the rest of us don't have. And I'm going to seek the Savior that she talked about as well." Within 3 days, those three men had all come to faith in Jesus Christ, as did a good number of the rest of their family and relatives. Why? All due to a young woman who was called to walk through the valley of suffering. Because she faced it with honor. Be careful how you behave when trouble comes upon you. Suffering allows us to bestow honor on God if we deal with it correctly. Suffering also allows God to bestow his grace on us. Paul had his thorn in the flesh, this opportunity for grace from God. He said, "God, take this thorn in the flesh away." We don't know exactly what it was. Something was causing him suffering. And God says, "No, you're going to have to keep it. You just have to allow my grace to be sufficient for you." And so it allows God to bestow his grace on us. I believe it also prepares us to help others. And we must remember, these are only partial answers. I don't think these are all the answers. These are just some of the answers. It prepares us to help others. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "Blessed be God the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves received from God. Do you see there in that verse, it talks about us helping comfort others because we have gone through that same affliction? There was a story of a young woman who lost a baby. She was not a Christian. She was not a believer. And the minister tried to comfort her, tried to read scripture, talked to her about the love of God. But it just seemed like it was to no avail, because the young woman was not a believer, was not a Christian. It just didn't seem to take root in her heart. But then along came a second woman who had also lost a baby in her life. And she came alongside the first young woman and said, "Oh, Jenny, it's going to be okay. How can this ever be okay?" The second woman says, "I've gone through the same thing that you're suffering. And I know what you're going through. God called to me in the darkness of that time, during that suffering. And I came to him and I found comfort and I found peace in my life in God. And he will comfort you too. But you must come to him and you must cling to him. And he will give you peace." You see, sometimes God allows us to suffer, to endure sorrow and tears, so that we can comfort others that endure the same difficulties. I believe suffering can also build character in us. And I think, last of all, I think it also can encourage us to trust God. Who among you fears the Lord and listens to his servant? Who among you walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Let him lean on his God. I believe it allows us an opportunity to trust in God. Even though you can't see the way ahead, you trust in God, knowing that God sees, God knows, God is watching, and God cares. And we know that God will never forsake us. He'll never abandon us. He will always be with us. And so I encourage you, as this verse encourages you, trust in the name of the Lord. Lean on your God. And like the words of the song that was sung this morning, in Christ alone, find your encouragement and your comfort. And I believe that God will comfort. God is a comforting God, and he's a loving God, and he loves us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your promises that say that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, you will always be there for us. God, we are overwhelmed. God, never let us think when we go through sorrows and sufferings and turmoil and trouble and pain, never for one moment let us think that your love is no longer with us, that you have abandoned us. Never let us think that way. Lord, help us always to endure suffering, endure trials, and endure tribulations as good soldiers. Help us to not be quarrelsome, not to be complainers about the things that you put in our lives. Lord, we do thank you for your love for us, and we thank you for the encouragement of other people who have endured great difficulties in their lives. What an encouragement that is to us. Lord, bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.